It's time for another episode of The Accidental Entrepreneur.
It's not far, like 300 miles. They try and stay within 300 miles. And their mission has always been to strengthen the regional food system.
Right. So are the Just Farmed customers, are they getting stuff not just from New Jersey, but also stuff from Pennsylvania, New York, Delaware?
Yeah. So we're primarily New Jersey, Pennsylvania. Okay. There are some things that we'll source. Like New York has the black dirt growing region. They grow the best onions and shallots on the East Coast. Okay. So we source all of our onions from the black dirt region from two separate farms. There are just certain things that grow better in certain soils.
Right.
So we at year eight now know what farms specialize in what things. So it's a combination of you want to stay local, you want to try and stay organic, you want to have a good mix of staples and interesting items, and then you want to feature all the specialty growers
right.
that do fun things like blue potatoes and...
Yeah, we see some cool things. We get some interesting... cauliflower, I think, or broccoli,
yeah, purple
right?
cauliflower, yeah. purple kohlrabi, purple scallions. There are certain growers that do unique varieties, and that's part of our program. You get like a little bit of an education and a series of tastings within the same... family.
Right.
So you'll get white cauliflower, cheddar cauliflower, green cauliflower, purple cauliflower.
Right. So let's back up for a second about your background. So your background's in fitness and must be a little bit of nutrition and healthcare, but you didn't know anything about farming. So you took an interest
Nothing.
In it. You've been learning all this on your own?
All on the fly. All on the fly. It's funny. I just put a post on Instagram not too long ago. You know how you take those aptitude tests when you're in high school and
yeah.
it says, oh, you're going to grow up and be... Mine said a farmer.
And no, it didn't.
Let me tell you, back in...
That is funny.
I don't want to say what year, but, you know, decades ago, it came back as a farmer. I was mortified.
Yeah, then.
I was like, oh, my God, who is a farmer? Everyone
right.
was laughing at me. But, you know, there is some truth to those tests.
Yeah, you think someday you and Brian are going to be like... running a farm out somewhere where you're farming the land?
The information provided in these episodes is for entertainment purposes only. It is not a guarantee of success or to be construed as advice of any kind. You should always seek advice from local licensed professionals before making any decisions.
The dictionary defines an entrepreneur as a person who organizes and manages any enterprise, especially a business, usually with considerable initiative and risk. People often start a business without much choice, perhaps due to a job loss or just being dissatisfied at work. And they come up with an idea they just know can be successful. They become entrepreneurs by accident. That is to say, their success or failure happens by accident, not with intention. My name is Mitch Beinhacker. I'm a corporate attorney and a business advisor. You're listening to The Accidental Entrepreneur, my podcast about how to achieve success on purpose, not by accident. Join me along with our monthly guests where we share our knowledge and help you get a hold of your business. And now on to today's episode.
Hi, this is Meredith Lehman. I'm the owner of Just Farmed. We're a local farm box delivery company working with several farms in the New Jersey and Pennsylvania area, bringing home delivery to people in the counties in New Jersey.
So, you know what? Let's start, like, I don't even know where you grew up. Tell me where you grew up, where you're from, what your background is, and then we'll get into how you got into the farming industry, really. Because you guys own a farm too, right?
Yeah, we own a farm in Bedminster. That's one of the farms that we actually source produce from, but it has its whole own separate program out there.
Got it. Okay. All right. So where are you from originally?
So I was born in Maryland, but when I was five, my parents relocated to Bucks County,
okay.
Pennsylvania. My dad was commuting in and out of Manhattan, and it was a little bit closer.
Right.
And my mom was a school teacher, so it was a great area for schools and teaching.
Okay.
And I grew up there my entire childhood. I was a Division I gymnast, so I was always in athletics and had a pretty rigid schedule. And with gymnastics, you're kind of focused on food a lot.
Right.
I was lucky enough not to have any issues with that, but
right.
It definitely was a topic of interest amongst all the teammates and the coaches.
I can imagine.
So I always was interested in food from the beginning.
Right.
After I graduated from high school, I went on scholarship to University of Maryland and did gymnastics there
okay.
and studied business.
Okay.
And I still always loved food. I graduated with a business degree and went into a healthcare publishing company, and I was there for 12 years working on selling advertising space, but really talking with a lot of niche healthcare professionals in certain fields like respiratory and medical records and nursing and IT, but all within a healthcare realm.
Right.
And I was there for a while, 12 years.
Okay.
And still loved food. Lived in Manhattan for a while at that time and toyed around with going back to culinary school, but wound up having three kids under three back to back.
Right.
So we moved to the suburbs of Westfield, where we are now.
Right, where we met.
I took a couple of years off from working and then decided I didn't enjoy being at home without also having work outside of my family life.
Right.
So tried to find something that would kind of suit both needs of being able to be here for the kids when they were really young, but also having some other sort of stimulation outside of the household.
Right.
So,
but it wasn't necessarily going to be a home-based business, right? You were just looking around.
No, it wasn't. I had no clue. So I was always into going to farmers markets and finding, you know, I'm local over organic.
Right.
Always will choose organic first, but I was always a local person. Like I would rather go out to the farm and pick something and eat it than have an organic of the same transported from California. That's
right.
Just my feeling about it.
I got it.
You know, I'm always want to be pesticide free, but if I had to make a choice, I was a local choice.
Right. First. Well, is all the local stuff organic too, or not necessarily?
Yeah, our farm is certified organic, but not all things grow organically in New Jersey and Pennsylvania. I mean, we don't really do a great job at potatoes and apples. And there are like just some things that just don't grow that well here.
Right.
We have a lot of bugs.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Yeah. So, you know, I was always having trouble getting the kids to get out the door when they were little to go to the grocery store and to, you know, go to a farm market.
Right.
So I asked a few neighbors on my street if they'd be interested in buying like a case of a few different things and just splitting it into a couple of shares. And everyone's like, yeah, sure, we'll try it. So
you mean so like you could go
there.
So you could go to a farm and say, hey, listen, we want to buy a certain amount of stuff from you, and you would pool it together.
Yeah, like we'd like
friends.
A case of kale and a case
Got
of carrots
it.
And a case of apples and a case of leeks.
Okay.
And then we would bring it home and like split it up amongst us.
Got it.
And when I floated it out there on email, I think we had like almost 100 people within like 2 days.
Yeah, people just went crazy. They're like, oh, we want that too.
And yeah, so I was like, oh, I guess there's a need for this. And I guess the issue was there were places that you could go and pick that kind of stuff up, like the farmers markets, which are awesome.
Right.
But there was nowhere that delivered it.
Right. There was a guy in town. Remember, he went out of business.
Yeah, Alan.
Yeah, Alan's Orchard.
They were
right.
awesome.
Yeah, I think one of the problems was, and I said this at the beginning, was where he was located. You need to be able to either drop it off or pick up stuff, and he doesn't have full groceries, so parking became, I think, an issue for him. But
yeah, and I think
but his box business
could
was busy, right?
Yeah, I could be totally wrong, but I think they primarily started as a market and didn't realize that the box was going to take off.
Yeah. It was and a market, a little market.
Yeah, that was the original intention. And then they put this box company out there, and the amount of produce you got for the price was just insane.
Yeah.
So, and I don't know the space in there. I mean, it was a downstairs storage area. The space in there was kind of tough to build the amount of boxes that they were building.
Yeah.
So when they decided to go out of business, they actually called to see if we wanted to partner up to be like their delivery arm.
Right.
But for me, I wasn't ready to expand to that many people. And, you know, I'm all about good service. So
right. Yeah. You expand too quickly and you can't keep up with
everything.
Yeah. You can't keep up with all these people if you expand too quickly.
Yeah. So it doesn't matter if you have like 5,000 people, if you're making mistakes on 2/3 of those orders, it's not good.
You know, I think we were getting boxes from them. This is like really early. You hadn't even gotten started yet. And one day I remember this story, the Anita opens berries or something. There was a dead frog.
Frog. He told me that. I remember.
You remember the story? Oh, my
yep.
God. Alan flipped out. He was so upset. And, you know, I'm sure while they were, you know, however they load the berries with the machines or whatever, there's some frog jumped in there or whatever died.
Yeah. I mean, you can't. Yeah. It comes from the farm. I mean, that's
That's definitely organic.
Sometimes there's bugs sometimes. Yeah. There's dirt sometimes. Yeah.
It's nothing, you know, you can only do so much about it.
Yeah.
He was more upset than we were. I mean, it was like, you know, well, obviously we're not going to eat the berries, but we weren't like, we're never doing this again. It's just, you know, part of being on the farm.
You know, it's from the farm.
Yeah.
It's from the farm.
Yeah.
They typically don't wash berries either because then they perish. So.
Right. You got to do that yourself. Yeah. That's what happened. We were washing the berries. We were taking them out, and this little frog fell out. It would be funnier if it was alive. You know. So, have you ever had incidents like that where you had to? You're like, oh my god, you know, things you can't control.
We have people that you know. So the terrain in southern New Jersey is very sandy.
Okay.
It's down, you know, by the beach and the Pine Barrens, and it's just sandy. And
right.
We grow really great South Jersey kale and spinach. Because it's grown in sand.
Right.
So sometimes there are things that come that are quite dirty.
Yeah. But that's just dirty. I mean, you just got to wash it, right?
Yeah. It comes from the ground. And for us, you know, you really shouldn't wash something until you eat it.
Right. Because it's going to speed up the...
It decomposes so quickly.
Right, it's going to rot.
So what we did, you know, it's funny because we're a full recycle program at this point. So you get a box. It's lined with ice mats.
Right.
And people leave that out. We collect it and we sanitize it and reuse it.
Yeah.
We can't do that right now.
It's
so
hard,
everything is disposable, which kind of stinks.
Oh, so you have to get rid of your boxes every time now?
Right now, we're telling people to recycle their own boxes and their own materials. But that being said, you know, we're also trying to put things like in plastic. So it's pre-packed with, we all have masks and gloves, and there's only three of us right now that are actually packing boxes. We just don't want a whole lot of people around.
Right,
so,
of course.
There's a lot of packaging right now that has to be recycled, which is like just killing everyone.
I know. You see it when even just people's homes, they got more bottles, more cans, more this, because they're all home consuming things. So I guess it's the recycling.
Yeah, I was talking to the waste disposal guy the other day, and he was like, I can't even keep up with the amount of trash and recycling that's coming out of the houses right now.
Yeah, plus people are going through things. They're like, oh, we're stuck home. Let's go through the attic. Let's go through the basement. And they're throwing things out.
Yeah.
You know, it's been crazy. All right. So so then you were telling me the story, how you started realizing that this was an interest.
Yeah. So a lot of people wanted delivery. So then we started, we had one box size to start. You couldn't pick your own items. You couldn't skip any weeks. It was very basic.
Right.
And it ran from like May to November. And that was it. It was every week and you got what you got.
Right. Because that's the growing season, right?
Yeah. And then over time, we kind of figured out like some households only have two people, some have four, some have six. So we instituted a couple of different box sizes. And then the following year after that, we figured out people really want to have some of their own choice.
Okay.
So we made part of them pick your own. Then we figured out people really just want staple items. So we started adding on potatoes and carrots and onions every week. You could just choose to put those in your box or you could add them on.
Well, there's some things that you get all the time and then some things that are affected by the season, right?
Right. Yeah. So like asparagus, you got to get it while you can in May and June. But onions, they do fresh onions all season and then they do storage onions all winter. So that's something that's around all the time.
Got it.
So we try and highlight what is being harvested in season and then allow you to choose or add staple items all the time now.
I see.
And if you're away for the summer, you can skip the whole summer. You can skip any weeks that you want. There's no contract. I mean, people work hard for their money and it's nice that they want to support local and they should be able to do it in a way that works for their family and not be forced into a box size or an every week situation.
So you have a longer season now? It's not just May to...
Yeah, so now we go weekly from May until November.
Okay.
And then we do one a month, December, January, February, March, and April.
Oh, so you go through all the whole season, really?
Yeah, so we go all season. We just kind of slow down. I mean, we have enough farms that we work with now, and we work with the help of Zone 7, which is a big food distribution company.
Got it.
They've actually helped us expand to the Hunterdon and Bucks County and Mercer counties in the past like 2 weeks since COVID started.
Okay.
They're helping doing the deliveries down there.
Oh, got it.
So we actually have access to a lot of food all year long, but you know, how many times can you have a rutabaga and a celery root and a potato and a carrot in a box with, you know, people are going to eat strawberries and raspberries and buns and cucumbers all year long, whether it comes from here or not. It's just the reality. So we kind of slow it down a little bit in the winter, give people a little bit of a break.
Yeah. Now, do you include like recipes? Because like, you know, Anita, she's a cook, so she loves getting stuff from you. She makes all kinds of things out of it. She's trying stuff. Do people, not everybody's a cook, so do you give them recipes and stuff?
Yeah. Every year we do a little giveaway in the box. Okay. And the first 2 years before technology was like happening, right. I mean, this was almost 10 years ago now, we gave away binders and we put 10 recipes in every box and okay. people made like a recipe book.
Okay.
Now we put we highlight one item. So if asparagus is in season or kale is just starting or leeks are at their peak, we'll take that item. We'll give you a little background about it. And we'll give you two recipes for that. Right. And then we have a whole online catalog of recipes right. on our website.
Yeah, so you can go in. Just go there. And then you don't have to worry about printing it, wasting paper, right? All that stuff.
Right. Which goes back to the full recycle thing. We try and keep the insert that we put in the box to one page now.
Right. Yeah, because you're conscious.
Just so people know what to expect.
That kind of fits with your whole theme anyway, so.
Yeah.
You know, it's funny. I was just interviewing a woman. It'll probably come out in like 6 weeks. And she's got... It's not an organic business. It's a technology business where they help people with leads and stuff. Anyway, the reason that she's thought of this whole online like connection tool, it's like if you go to a conference, right, and instead of picking up a brochure, you can text or whatever, you get the information. She was at this conference, and at the end of the conference, it was like 10 years ago, there was this mound of brochures in the middle of the conference center, like a Javits Center, like a big place, that was so large that they needed a dump truck and a loader to get rid of these things, and it cost the companies more money to ship it back to the companies and reuse them than just dump them and print new ones. And it was such a waste. And, you know, and that's, I think, people got to be more conscious of that. But, you know, electronic stuff's good.
Yeah, it's definitely good. And the recycle situation is great. I mean, the boxes aren't inexpensive. Printing brochures isn't expensive.
No. And your boxes are serious boxes. I mean, they're lined.
Yeah, you want to reuse them until you can. And, you know, with produce, it's kind of easy. It's coming from the farm. You have to wash it no matter what when you receive it. So, you know, sometimes the farms will ask me, do you mind if we use recycled boxes? And I'm always like, no, please send them because we're just throwing them out.
Yeah. But there's no way to sanitize the boxes that you use now to get them back?
So, it's funny. In the beginning, we had like this plastic corrugated box.
Yeah, I remember that one. Yeah.
We would like kind of bleach down with this like organic bleach and spray them with the hose. And it was a nightmare. So now what we do is we line the inside of the box with a disposable wax paper, like a parchment paper.
Oh, okay.
And it keeps it protected. But at the end of the day, you know, most people just take their produce out and then they put their box like either by their door in the garage or out front. And then we take them and we blow them out. We reline them and then we wash and sanitize all the ice mats that are in there.
Right. But given the whole COVID thing, you're like, maybe
it's just disposable. So we actually switched boxes this past week from our wax fresh produce box.
Yeah, you can't dispose of those. They're too expensive, right?
And the wax ones last a really long time, and I couldn't in my heart of hearts like just start recycling those. So we did switch to a recycled cardboard fresh vegetable box.
Okay.
So
that's a disposable one, meaning the people who get the boxes recycle them.
Yeah, now the people who get the boxes will recycle them instead of leaving them out for collection the next week.
Got it. Okay. But you're only going to do that until this whole thing passes, right?
Oh, right. Exactly.
Yeah, got it.
Yeah, I can't wait to get back to the recycle program.
Yeah. And you do, and this is just so people listening know, this is a home-based business that you operate out of your home, obviously all approved and health, you know, supervised by the health department, and you get you store it, and then you box it up, and you got to manage it all, right?
Yeah, we do like a lot of the background work is done here, like all of the customer, you know, maintenance and the database and all of the list posting and all of the supplies. We keep a lot of the packaging and a lot of the produce. We have the farm in Bedminster.
Is that where you store a lot of it?
And that has a full cooler.
Okay.
It's kind of like a joint venture. They have a program out there where we, Just Farm, helps them with their boxes in the winter because the farm is kind of, the fields are closed down at that time.
Right.
And then once their produce comes in, which is usually a few weeks into the growing season, like mid to late May,
right?
They have their own program where it's like a pickup, and you can pick up produce there, and it's like a U-pick style, a market table, and you take your basket, you fill it up,
right?
And you pick flowers and herbs and all that kind of stuff. So it's kind of like a joint thing. We've gotten big enough now that we've had to kind of morph between
right.
the two.
Too much stuff. Now this is the property.
And, you know,
and this is the property that you and Brian own, and you lease it to the farmers?
So we own the property. We have one farm manager who is actually part of the management team for the farm. So
got it.
The farm itself is called Flipside Farm. The owners of the land are Lehman Acres.
Got it.
So Flipside Farm, he is part manager and owner of that part of the entity. And he does all the growing. And my team for Just Farms and I do all of the other stuff.
Some of his customers
and billing and all of that
right.
kind of stuff.
So it's really a joint venture between Just Farmed and
Flipside now. Yeah, Just Farmed is kind of like the parent company. Flipside Farm is a location where you can get similar stuff, but you go pick it up.
Right. And some of his stuff goes in your boxes, depending on what's
yeah,
going
so,
on?
He's a yeah, we'll take whatever too. We can from him. He's a great grower, and it's all organic because it's a certified farm.
Sure.
So it's nice. But he has a program where he has to serve those people as well. So it's, you know, we all, it's a love triangle. We all buy and share from one another.
So now when you got started, you didn't own the farm at that point, right? It was just...
No,
so
yeah.
So how did you get started? How did you start sourcing the farms and doing this stuff?
So I reached out directly to a few farms.
Okay.
And then I also worked with a distribution company that helped collect the produce from the farms that were further away. That
okay.
in itself is its own business, working with the farms, seeing what they have available, and
right.
then coordinating picking that stuff up.
So that's then, that you basically subcontract out to this company?
That I basically subcontract out. I do go with a lot of farms direct,
right.
but I go with more farms through the distribution company.
Because they're farther away.
I actually work at that distribution company as well in their sales department.
Oh, okay.
So it is like a true love triangle between the farm and the Just Farmed home delivery and the distribution company. I started working there probably 3 years ago.
Okay.
I guess next year will be four. So yeah, 3.5 years ago. And I help run their sales department, and they are wholesale. They move farm produce to restaurants and grocers.
I see. So they're dealing
so
with
So they
the
did
end.
Not do the home delivery portion of it.
Oh, so it was good because it didn't compete with anything. It just
increased. It didn't compete. Now with all the COVID stuff,
yeah.
they have helped with the home delivery of Just Farmed to some of the counties that are a little far away for our drivers to get to.
I see.
So while the restaurant business is kind of at a low, they have kind of pivoted and helped use their trucks to now get to people's houses.
Right. But they're basically a logistics company, right? So they're picking up in food, the bulk food from the farms, and then their customers are either a restaurant or grocery stores or you, really. And then
right.
they're delivering that to wherever. It's all about logistics for them, right?
It is.
Yeah. Yeah,
it
so
is. They do inventory. They have a huge warehouse space with a cooler. Well, I shouldn't say huge. It's very small compared to the amount of food that they move.
Right.
But they do have, like, you know, big warm rooms and cold rooms, and they work with hundreds of farms, and they do everything from grains and proteins to honeys and
all kinds of stuff.
Yeah, all kinds of stuff, and every produce you could imagine under the sun that's grown in, you know, a 5-state radius.
Oh, so they don't just deal in New Jersey. They're a pretty big company.
It's New Jersey, Pennsylvania, New York. We bring in like some asparagus and strawberries from Delaware. They always start their season first.
Okay.
So 4 states, not far, like 300 miles. They try and stay within 300 miles. And their mission has always been to strengthen the regional food system.
Right. So are the Just Farmed customers, are they getting stuff not just from New Jersey, but also stuff from Pennsylvania, New York, Delaware?
Yeah. So we're primarily New Jersey, Pennsylvania. Okay. There are some things that we'll source. Like New York has the black dirt growing region. They grow the best onions and shallots on the East Coast.
Okay.
So we source all of our onions from the black dirt region from 2 separate farms. There are just certain things that grow better in certain soils.
Right.
So we at year 8 now know what farms specialize in what things. So it's a combination of you want to stay local, you want to try and stay organic, you want to have a good mix of staples and interesting items, and then you want to feature all the specialty growers
right.
that do fun things like blue potatoes and...
Yeah, we see some cool things. We get some interesting, cauliflower, I think, or broccoli,
yeah, purple
right?
cauliflower, purple yeah. kohlrabi, purple scallions. There are certain growers that do unique varieties, and that's part of our program. You get like a little bit of an education and a series of tastings within the same family.
Right.
So you'll get white cauliflower, cheddar cauliflower, green cauliflower, purple cauliflower.
Right. So let's back up for a second about your background. So your background's in fitness and must be a little bit of nutrition and healthcare, but you didn't know anything about farming. So you took an interest
Nothing.
In it. You've been learning all this on your own?
All on the fly. All on the fly. It's funny. I just put a post on Instagram not too long ago. You know how you take those aptitude tests when you're in high school and
yeah.
it says, oh, you're going to grow up and be... Mine said a farmer.
And no, it didn't.
Let me tell you, back in...
That is funny.
I don't want to say what year, but, you know, decades ago, it came back as a farmer. I was mortified.
Yeah, then.
I was like, oh my God, who is a farmer? Everyone
right.
was laughing at me. But, you know, there is some truth to those tests.
Yeah, you think someday you and Brian are going to be, like, running a farm out somewhere where you're farming the land? Or...
It'd be awesome.
Yeah, you'd love that, huh?
It'd be great.
Yeah.
So this year I'm like an active participant at the farm. So I've been helping with the crop planting and the seed planting.
Oh,
and
wow.
We just bought a whole bunch of new pieces of equipment, like a water wheel transplanter. And
what is that?
So it's like you sit on the back of this implement that's attached to a tractor.
Okay.
And it has a spinning wheel of water, and it punctures the ground. And it drops a little, like, tiny bit of water. And then you take your flat of seeds that have now grown into little seedlings.
Right.
And you plunk them in as you're sitting on the back and the tractor's pulling you along. You put it in the little water-filled hole.
Got it. So you're basically planting and feeding and watering all at the same time.
All at the same time while you're riding on the back of this, like, little seat.
I got it. But there's got to be things, bigger farms that do that automatically. They don't need a person sitting on the back. But this is a smaller farm, so you're...
I mean, I think a lot of people do it that way.
Yeah,
still.
Do they?
Yeah, farming's
still a hands-on type of business,
a little,
right?
Yeah, and it's antiquated. I mean, the software situation for keeping inventory and seeing what's moving and what
right.
customers that's behind. And, you know, I still get paper receipts, like triplicate paper receipts from some farms.
Well, especially you're dealing with local growers. I can't imagine.
Yeah.
Mean, I guess if you grow up as a farmer in the farming business, a fourth-generation farm, unless your family sent you to engineering school and you learn computer science, when
right.
is, yeah it's
right.
probably a whole industry that's up for disruption that could be
oh yeah if somebody
improved.
Could create an inventory system of what you plant, what you spend, what you harvest, what your customers purchase, what their patterns are, and marry that up with like a distribution if you're a delivery business, and put all three of those, customer management, inventory management, and distribution management
right.
in one system that didn't cost $2 million, it would be fabulous.
Well, you know, Camden is an informatics major in the engineering school of Indiana, so maybe...
It's a gap learns, in the market.
I'll let him know, maybe as he... Because
yeah.
he delivers for
it's
you,
missing.
So he knows your business.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. What was I going to ask you 2 minutes ago? Oh, so you said you learn a lot of this stuff yourself. So how did you come across, like, the black... What did you mention? The black dirt region?
Yeah.
Like, how does that happen?
Being a customer of this distribution company, Zone 7, and then subsequently working there, I've been able to bone up on my information and my knowledge about... I knew a lot going in because I had been a customer of theirs for, you know, 5 years at that time and now 8. And I have talked to a lot of farmers
right.
who have been nice enough to educate me on the things that they grow.
Got it.
A lot of them were like old-time farmers that
right.
didn't mind taking the time to tell me.
That was nice.
So I think it's just like a combination of surrounding yourself with experts and just kind of being a sponge and trying to get as much information. Our actual farm manager went to Yale.
Okay.
Graduated, worked in the finance industry.
Right.
And then decided that wasn't what he wanted out of life.
Right.
So he actually brings a lot of interesting technology type things to
right.
the table for us. I mean, he's a great grower and he likes to do interesting things, but he also like kind of thinks outside the box, which I think is the new generation of farming.
Definitely. Yeah, because people are going to get educated. That's what happens.
Yeah, fully educated business school graduates, just people who are interested in food, maybe don't want to be a chef in a kitchen
right.
for a super long period of time, and now they're transitioning out into other food industry
right.
and agriculture industry type jobs.
Right, but they have business backgrounds, and they have finance backgrounds.
Right, and some of them have kitchen backgrounds, right. and some of them have culinary skills backgrounds, and some of them have none.
Yeah, sure. It's funny, the guy who manages, I'm in a co-working space in Clark now with, not today, but in for my practice when I
cool.
kind of folded my law firm. And the guy who runs it was a Wall Street guy who hated going to Wall Street, and he was into like outside organic gardening and stuff like that. So he started a landscaping company, and he also owns this franchise, and it's all organic. He doesn't, you know, so, but he understands business. He's not an immigrant who's trying to mow lawns, you know.
Right.
So he understands the whole business thing. But he wanted to the same thing. He wanted to be outside and have an outside business. But he has a strong business background. So, yeah, I think that guy who – so how did you find, or did he find you, the
It took
farmer?
Us a couple years. I mean, we advertised. There's a couple of places that are known for agriculture and food type jobs. And okay. good food jobs is the big one.
Okay.
So we had advertised, we interviewed a couple of people that just weren't the right fit. We also had a piece of raw land that was almost 100 acres, 35 of it was cropland, and nothing had really ever been grown there. So we didn't know what the soil was like. There was no electricity. There was no...
So you owned the property for a long time before you...
We owned it for a bit of time before we did anything. And, you know, it still doesn't have like plumbing and an active like sewage system. It's
right.
all, it has water.
Yeah.
But it's very rustic and very organic and very like no footprint kind of place, which is cool.
Right.
It doesn't have a house. It only has, you know, a work barn and a work factory.
So he doesn't live there.
And,
guy doesn't live
you know,
there.
Where we do our work.
Right.
But yeah, it's an interesting experience, and it's nice just to be outside.
Yeah,
I didn't realize how much I like being outside.
Especially nowadays. So out of 100 acres, only 35 of them are
There's
farmer?
About 35 or so that's tillable, like cropland, one big giant open field. So a portion of that we have pigs, and we had chickens for a while. And then we have different parts. What we've found with this piece of land is very rocky. So
okay.
not everything grows well.
Okay.
So different parts of that 35 acres grow different things well, depending on the drainage and where it's located. So
right.
it's kind of been a big work in process the past 4 or 5 years since Taylor's been there, trying to figure out the idiosyncrasies of this crazy piece of land.
So you just bought this land, like not knowing whether it would produce anything or what could be grown there or if anything. You had no idea?
Yeah, not really.
So,
Brian wanted it as a hunting and an outdoors property.
Oh,
and
okay.
we started Just Farmed like right around the same time we found that piece of land.
I see. So it wasn't necessarily like if Just Farm didn't make it or you decided not to do it or you couldn't farm that land that it was a waste. You were doing it for other
yeah.
reasons.
It's interesting because it actually has been two separate entities up until like the past year or two when we've kind of merged them all together.
I see.
Yeah, so a little backwards.
So does he still hunt the land, the other, what is it, 70, 65 acres?
Yeah. I mean, yep, that's what keeps him sane.
Well, now he's going nuts. He's working from home, right? He can't.
Oh, we're all working from home.
Oh, I know. There's going to be, 9 months from now, there's going to be a lot of babies, but there's probably going to be a lot of divorce, too.
I know, right?
They want to kill each other.
We were talking about, I was talking about that with my parents, if that was going to happen to like the generation and who's born when and
yeah, it's like the blackout,
the,
right? Yeah.
It's crazy.
Yeah, I know. So where are your parents in
my
Pennsylvania?
My parents live 5 blocks from me, right down the street.
Oh, I didn't know they live in town.
They just moved up here. Yeah, they moved up here a couple years ago. So they moved from Bucks County. They live actually on Shackamax and on the other side of Lambert's Mill. So their address is technically Scotch Plain.
I see. Closer to the golf course.
Yeah, they live at the back entrance. They're like right there.
Got it. Yeah, like
it's
yeah,
great.
I know where that is. So
it's
do
great.
You, how, are they like my parents' age? Are in their 70s?
Yep.
Yeah, so do they stay in and you deliver food to their house in their garage? My parents
so
won't go out.
Funny.
My sister delivers them in West Orange.
Mitch, it's so funny. They ordered a grocery delivery. My mom stayed up in the middle of the night, got a window.
Yeah,
at
that's what I was. They were telling me that yesterday. You can't. I think you have to get a window like a week out, right, to get food.
Yes,
I didn't
got
know
a window
this.
A week out, and
oh
I said,
God.
"I'll go get it for you. I don't want them going out."
Right, of course.
I go and I pick up this delivery, And I guess the person like that was behind me in line at outside had the same last name with like one additional letter
of you
as my parents' last name. So they gave me the wrong order, but I didn't realize it until I got to my parents' house and I was like looking through there and there was like pet food and stuff. And
you're like,
I was
what?
Like, oh, crap. My parents don't have any pets. This can't be right.
Somebody screwed that up.
So I had to go back and, and then like, I felt bad cause I had this stuff in my car and the lady was there and, you know, I had gloves and a mask cause we work, you know, I've been working 18 days doing these boxes. So I just live in gloves and a mask now.
Yeah.
So I had the gloves and the mask and she's like, oh, I feel better because you know, it was in your car, but you're like all suited up. But I was like, yeah, it didn't go in my house. So it was a nightmare, but we got it. It was fine.
So this woman behind you had her last name was close to your maiden name.
Yeah.
That's funny.
Yeah. Like one letter off. So.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's hard. I mean, if you're, you know, that age, you don't want to, that's like the worst age to get it. Right.
I know. And my mom has asthma.
Yeah.
So I worry about them. I worry about everyone, but you know.
Yeah. Like 8 or 9 years ago, I had pneumonia and I still every season get a little bit of a cough and stuff.
Yeah.
So I'm like, you know, I stay away from that. Anita goes to the supermarket and deals with the stuff.
Yeah,
but
she's out there.
Yeah, it's a nightmare. So so you were saying, I think, I don't remember if we were on mic yet or not, but your business is very busy.
It's really busy, yeah, because everybody wants home delivery. And it's great. I mean, we're happy to do it. It's,
yeah. Well, I saw you were doing some things in town that were nice. There was some, Anita showed me some. There was like a post through the pizza guy, and then he was looking for other
things
for
Yeah, he was
for
looking
somebody.
For some fresh vegetables, berm from out of hand. I've never really connected with him. And I saw that he had posted that he's, you know, does a lot of donations for families and, you know, taking stuff up to the hospital and that they had gotten a lot of like money donations and canned goods and box goods, but they needed some fresh goods.
Right.
So every week now on Tuesday, I'm bringing up this week was our extras. Cause it was the first week and I didn't connect with him till late in the game after we had already done our delivery. So we were able to give like lettuces and salads and greens and eggs and that kind of stuff. Next week, I'll send some apples and carrots, some things that are a little bit more friendly for kids so he can pass them out.
So he goes to he goes to the hospitals where the first responders are and working.
Yeah. I think he has donated, pizza and I don't know what else to the first responders, but then he also, from what I understand, helps collect food for like families maybe in town.
Oh, who like don't have a support system to bring them food and stuff.
Yeah. So we used to do that through like the schools. You know, we would bring stuff in. Kids were in elementary school and leave extras for kids either who forgot their lunch or needed lunch or whatever it was. Then home on the weekend, so they had extras. So I'm happy to find somebody who's doing that, especially right now.
Yeah, I guess the schools have these lunch programs. Are they still? I mean, kids.
I don't know
what they're doing.
I don't know. Yeah. I would love to know. So if anybody comes across the information, I'm happy to still donate to whoever it is that's coordinating that. It used to be the school nurse.
Right. And they had moms that would volunteer to give out the lunches. I remember that. Yeah, Anita was involved.
Yeah, and then like they had people who would volunteer like to, you know, donate milk and donate, you know, we always sent apples because that was easy, but it's makes me worried.
It's crazy because you know, there's some businesses that are doing okay and there's some businesses that are really struggling. I'm on calls all the time and some of the businesses even that were busy at the beginning are kind of slowing down now. My business went in the toilet. I mean, who's calling their business lawyer in the midst of this? I'm doing some wills and stuff for people, but getting them signed is a little bit of a challenge. So
it is a challenge
trying to figure that out. You can't do like e-sign for a will.
For a will, right. Yeah, it has to be in person.
Yeah, you can't do that. So, you know, whatever. We're just trying to stay online and network and I'm doing, starting on Tuesday and Thursday, is when I'm going to do 15-minute, like, legal updates, but.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, just to, people don't forget about you, right? You got to stay.
Yeah, well, I would assume once this settles that people will have a lot of legal needs sorting out.
Yeah.
Happening with their business, right?
Yep. Then, yeah, they're going to have to sort. I mean, I'm not sure if that's my purview. Maybe it'll be more litigation or something. I don't know. We're going to have to see how all these situations play out.
Yeah, I'm curious to see if they'll have like outdoor availability for people to run their businesses if they are outside once the weather gets a little bit better.
That's an interesting comment, because I think that the biggest problem is going to be, even though they say, okay, it's kind of all clear, you can start going back to work, people are still going to not want to be like in an enclosed place with a lot of people, right? Not at the beginning.
Oh, yeah.
So if you're an outdoor type of business, you know, look, they're already having, it's still on schedule, the farmer's market in Westfield. So I think maybe they'll delay it. I guess that starts like around Memorial Day, right? Those are the times when they get started.
It does, you know, and I follow a lot of the farmers markets, like blogs and updates, and some of them are operating and they have like a line and only one person can go through the line at a time.
That's the problem. Some of them are busy, like Summit I know is very busy. Are they open already though, some of these? No, not yet.
Some of them are open, but some of them are just year round.
I see. Okay.
They're year round whether it's cold or not.
I see. Okay. Yeah. So, you know, Westfield's
only
seasonal.
But I mean, we're there, like, you know, spring produce for New Jersey is, they are harvesting. They just started this week. So in very short order, it's going to be an abundance of food available. There's not a food shortage, which is great.
Right.
Yeah, there's definitely not a food shortage. Right. Yeah. Like there hasn't been a gap yet in food shortage.
Okay.
So it's funny. My sister has worked for Pepsi for, 20 plus years.
Okay.
And it's interesting to hear from like the beverage and snacks. She's on the Frito-Lay side right now, like what they've done to change their business during this time. Like they've had to narrow down like how many SKUs they are stocking, and depending on what kind of business it is, like, you know, they're not selling as many cans of soda, they're selling more 2 liters, and they're not selling as many like snack bags, they're selling the big ones.
Interesting.
Like,
yeah, because the kids aren't putting them in lunch boxes, they're home, right?
Right, so, they're doing the big bags now because they want to get a big quantity and not have to go back. Like it's been amazing. But the one thing I will say from the farming side, this has given our earth a little bit of a break from everything that people are doing pollution wise. And to like, even like harvesting of like foraged items, like I think we're going to have a recovery year for our land.
Yeah. Well, you know, I think to a certain extent, it's almost like everybody talks about how, you know, what's happening with the earth and with the environment and, you know, the earth isn't going anywhere. The earth gets fed up with us and it's going to get rid of us, you know? And so I think all that kind of breath is good for.
Yeah. It's like, go and think about all the stuff that you've done.
Yeah, correct. We've only been here a very tiny.
Let me rest.
Yeah. And we've only been here a tiny period of time in history. So when the earth's ready to move on, it'll move on to whatever it's going to do. And the whole thing's crazy, but hopefully we've learned how to. I mean, this is obviously going to be a new normal. It's going to be a new normal how we handle our food and how we handle, you know, social groups and cleanliness and, you know, and certainly disposal. And, you know, hopefully people will do more recycling and be more conscious of that kind of stuff. But hopefully we're ready next time. That's the biggest issue. You're not going to get rid of this thing unless you have a vaccine. So, you know, people are cooperating. So, but I'm glad to hear that you guys are healthy and that everything's going well for you guys. And that it sounds like an industry that you've kind of, you know, joined and wanted to be a part of, but that there's really good people in the, you know, the farming community.
Yeah, I would say for the most part, like everybody is very kind.
Yeah, that's good.
They're very like kind-hearted people.
Yeah.
And they love what they do. And for someone like me, like I always love food, but I never really knew how to get into that sort of industry. And, you know, hindsight's 20/20. I'm glad I didn't wind up going the culinary kitchen route because I probably at this age would have been burned out.
Yeah.
And I got a second chance to have like a whole new career, you know, in my 40s, which is fun.
Right. All right. So this
I'm thankful.
No, it sounds great. So this is what I'm going to do. I'll put in the show notes, you know, like links of how people can find out about Just Farmed and sign up. And if there's any information, well, I guess your website will have all the information on it. So we'll put a link to the website and then get this out probably in the next month. By then, everything will be peaking probably with regard to coronavirus. And but I know how busy you are, so thanks so much for, you know, spending
40, 50 minutes with me. Thank you. I appreciate it.
If you like our podcast, please tell others about us. You can find us on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Spotify, Stitcher, TuneIn, and iHeartRadio. If you like what you hear, please leave us a 5-star review and feel free to share our episodes on social media. If you have any questions or comments, ideas for the show, or you'd even like to appear as a guest, reach out to us by email at beinlaw33@gmail.com. That's beinlaw33@gmail.com. The Accidental Entrepreneur has been written, directed, and produced by Mitchell Beinhacker. If you'd like more information about Mitchell and his practice, you can find him on social media or visit his website at beinhackerlaw.com. Thanks for listening, and be sure to subscribe to our feed to be notified of all future episodes.